A Wednesday, April 24th, 6:09 at the time of our broadcast. In case you're listening back on the podcast, we got a live hockey talk show. We are talking some incredible hockey here. It has been an unbelievable playoff 2019 so far. Toronto Maple Leafs eliminated. We are going to break down exactly why. I believe I have the answer to why the Maple Leafs messed up their entire season. I will share that knowledge with you and Kyle Dubas and Brendan Shanahan on this episode of the Hockey Talk Show. Plus, we saw one of the absolutely most exciting and thrilling comeback games in the NHL playoffs. This one, by far, the absolute best game of the playoffs 2019 so far, as the San Jose Sharks eliminate the Vegas Golden Knights and move on to the next round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We will talk about that as well. We will preview Game 7, Carolina and Washington, and of course get into some more discussion here on what's going on in the National Hockey League. That's what we do right here on the Hockey Talk Show. All right, welcome in, everybody. Thanks for being here with us on this Wednesday, April 24th. As I said, lots to talk about on the program today. If you're watching via Facebook or YouTube, be sure to drop some comments below. Hit that like button so we know that you are here. We're going to make this one a fairly fast-moving show today. And as always, even if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, if you can, take a quick listen to the podcast. It always helps us. I'm trying to keep this show as free as possible to everybody, and that includes the live audience on YouTube and Facebook. And so the only way we're collecting revenue right now is through the podcast, which is doing very well. So even if you've seen the show already, try and hop on over to the Facebook page, to our podcast page, whether it's Apple Podcasts or whatever, and just click, listen to 10, 15 seconds of the ad if you can, and you can click off and go on with your day. That'll be your little donation to your old pal Ann. Let's talk about the games from last night, and then we're going to preview Capitals and Canes Game 7 from our nation's capital tonight. Let's go over first the Toronto Maple Leafs and what happened there with the Leafs last night. As predicted by a lot of people, yours truly as well said the same thing, the Leafs would be edged out in 7 games. That was the prediction, and that absolutely came to fruition last night. Nobody really surprised that the Maple Leafs got ousted last night, and the Bruins are moving on to round 2. I'll say this before we get into the breakdown of the event. How about Boston? I mean, if you're from Boston right now, are you not riding high or what? The Boston Red Sox won the World Series. The Patriots won the Super Bowl. You've got the Celtics going into the second round of the playoffs. I'm not an NBA guy, but they're in the second round. And you have, with Tampa Bay out of it, every possibility. There's nothing stopping the Boston Bruins from winning. You can't just sit here and go, oh, the Boston Bruins have no shot at winning the Stanley Cup. They have every shot. They have every chance at winning the Stanley Cup. I mean, you can have a legit sweep of a whole entire town. And that's crazy. That is crazy. Could you imagine if the Bruins wind up, the city of Boston winds up just sweeping everything? There will be no living in New York. That is for sure. That is absolutely for sure. Phil, welcome in. Nick, John, Dominic over in the Facebook page. See a couple people over on the YouTube side of things. Thank you guys so much for chiming in here. Remember to drop a like down there. Hit that like button, whether you're on Facebook or YouTube. But yeah, we're looking at a scenario where Boston, Dominic, I guess you're from, there you go. Dominic is from Western Mass. He's excited about the 4-sport sweep that is entirely possible for the city of Boston. That would be utterly insane. All right, but we're not going to really talk about Boston too much here because we know the Bruins have a ton of firepower. We know that. You know, we know the Bruins are a good team. We know the Bruins can go far. We know their weapons are good. Let's look at the Toronto Maple Leafs. I was trying to break down what went wrong with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and a lot of people are going to tell you the same thing. Their defense sucked. You know, they're this, they're that, all these things. For me, I want to go and start all the way at the beginning. For me, The Toronto Maple Leafs lost to the Boston Bruins because they bought into the hype. The Toronto Maple Leafs bought into the hype, and it started with Brendan Shanahan, and it rolled all the way down through the entire organization. AK, what's up, man? You're a Leafs fan. This must be hurting today. Let me see here. AK chimed, good Leafs fan. I like AK. This hurt most because we were the better team. I'm tired of Babcock and his run-and-gun system. How about cycle the puck once in a while? Auston Matthews only played 5 minutes in the third period. Babs is a joke. By the way, AK, I forget. Are you from Toronto or I feel like you were from Buffalo or something? Maybe New York. I forget where you're from. I know you're a Leafs fan. You go to Toronto today, they want Mike Babcock fired. Guy signed an 8-year deal, what, $5 million? Highest paid coach in the NHL, 8-year deal. He's 4 years in, he's halfway in. If you go to Toronto today, they want Mike Babcock's head on a silver platter. And by the way, I agree with some of what AK said. I'm going to get into it. I don't believe that Mike Babcock should be fired, and I don't think he will be fired. I do think he has 1 year left. That's the thing with coaches. Signing on the dotted line is nice and all for the paycheck, but that has nothing to do with how long you're actually going to hold the job for. That's for sure. That's for sure. Dominic, poor Vegas. They got screwed. We're going to get into that too. I got some footage for you guys, some crazy stuff from that game. But let me get back to Toronto bought into the hype. AK's from New York City. You got up a Leafs fan? I thought I was only the only one from New York who actually paid attention to the Leafs. They bought into the hype. Here's what I mean. Brendan Shanahan has been a godsend. Not since Brian Burke, who I honest to God feel made one slip up, and it cost him his run. I feel like Brian Burke would have made the Toronto Maple Leafs a very successful franchise moving forward. I know that's unpopular to say now, given the result of what happened, but I thought Brian Burke was good. He wasn't the right solution. Brendan Shanahan wound up being. I think Brendan Shanahan's been great for the organization, is my point. Brian Burke here, Brendan Shanahan here, on what is good to drive the ship that is the Toronto Maple Leafs. Lou, welcome in. Please let me know before you leave, because I do want to talk to you, Lou, about your channel and the Vegas Golden Knights. So hold on if you can, Lou. So Brendan Shanahan has been phenomenal. Really, really good all the way around. I mean, there's nothing I don't love about Brendan Shanahan's game plan. But Brendan Shanahan made a mistake. He slipped up. He bought into the hype. Here's what I mean by that. You have Lou Lamoriello. Lou Lamoriello, with some luck and some fortune, Zaitsev contract aside, turned your franchise around in 3 short years. The luck part came with Auston Matthews and some of the draft picks. Maybe it's a little bit of luck. Maybe it's a little bit of skill. But it's Lou Lamoriello. He's one of the absolute best general managers in the game. I say that before he comes to the New York Islanders and does really the bare minimum and makes, but he looks like a genius because of the coaching hire and does what he does with the Islanders this year. Let's be honest. 3 Stanley Cups in New Jersey. He is one of the absolute best general managers to ever be in the game. They signed Lou to this ludicrous contract of 3 years as general manager, and then I forget what it was, 3 years or 4 years, doesn't matter, as a special advisor, right? That was the thing. Nobody knew that deal at the time. Everybody just knew he was there, right? We found out after the fact, after Lou moved aside, that was the deal from the get-go. Brendan Shanahan bought into the hype. He bought into the hype of Kyle Dubas, and you'll see a theme here. He bought into the hype of this young, new NHL general manager. Take a look around the league. You look at John Chyka with the Arizona Coyotes. You look at Moneyball with the Oakland Athletics, whatever it is, the Chicago Cubs and the Boston Red Sox and all these teams that are buying into analytics. And I'm not dumping on analytics here. Analytics are important. I believe the game must progress, but Brendan Shanahan bought into the hype of Kyle Dubas. He bought into the hype of Kyle Dubas was going to leave to go to Colorado. He was going to leave to go here. He was going to leave to go there. And what did he do? He forced Lou out or whatever, went along with it. He should have stuck with his original gut instinct, which was give this franchise to Lou Lamoriello. And he should have went to Lou after year three, and he should have said to Lou, Lou, what do you think? Do you want to stay for one more year? I know we have an agreement in place. I'd like to stretch it out and give you one more year as the general manager. And he should have went to Kyle, and he should have said to Kyle, Kyle, you can go to Colorado right now and be the GM. You can go here, whatever, and be the GM, whatever it is. But I would love to have you for one more year. I know the agreement was 3 and 4 with Lou. I'd love to make it 4 and 3. I'd love to give Lou one more year. Because if Lou Lamoriello was here, I don't think the Toronto Maple Leafs look the way the Toronto Maple Leafs looked on the ice this year. What happened? Mike Babcock, Brendan Shanahan bought into the hype of this is the new GM. This is the way the league is going. Analytics, these things, that thing. He's the future. Kyle Dubas has all these job offers. I got to give the job to Kyle Dubas. So there was example one of Brendan Shanahan buying into the hype. Okay. All right. Lou goes and leaves. Kyle Dubas is the guy now. What happens? Kyle Dubas buys into the hype. Okay. Now you can go back. I'm on record. I used to work for the Islanders. You know I'm an Islander fan. I'm talking to you now with my media talk show host personality hat on, where there are no fans, totally unbiased. This is the situation. And you can go back to hockey talk shows from last season, and you can see this for yourself. I sat here behind this very actually I had a different microphone, so that's a lie. But I sat here behind this very desk in front of this very camera, and I said, it makes zero sense for the Toronto Maple Leafs to go out and sign John Tavares. Zero. They need to bring in a big, fast defenseman. They need help from Morgan Riley. They need defense. What did Kyle Dubas do? Kyle bought into the hype. He bought into the hype of John Tavares. Now, let me explain before you get all pissy and jump down my throat. It's very attractive and intriguing to smile in front of the cameras as you bring one of the best players in the game to your city, especially since he wanted to be there, especially since you beat out 6 other franchises at the boardroom table, in the pitch room, which general managers are good at, the negotiation, the tactic, the presentation, that's their game. That's their game 7. Dubas went in there game 7 style and won that boardroom. He won that boardroom. John, you got a good point on Facebook. I'm going to say it in a second. I love it. I love what you just said, John. He won that competition. But it was hook, line, and sinker. He bought into the hype. He bought into the hype of, I'm the new GM. I'm going to do things my way. I can get one of the great players in the game to come in here, and I'm going to do it. That, to me, my friends, that's hype. He bought into the hype. Just because you can get a John Tavares doesn't mean that's what your team needs. And case in point, the Toronto Maple Leafs are on the outside looking in. The Toronto Maple Leafs are worrying about what club am I going to use to tee off today, as opposed to what system are we going to play against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Case in point, I am 1,000% right, and my proof is they're out of the playoffs. Second year in a row, they lose to the Boston Bruins. Second year in a row, their defensive deficiencies are as evident as ever. It is hard. It is hard to sit there and look at John Tavares and look at the potential. According to John, and he's correct, 41 goals this year. It is hard to look at a 41-goal player, a game changer, a captain immediately, and look at him and go, no thanks. And I feel like that might have been what Lou would have done, because Lou would have looked at the 17-18 Leafs and said, I have got to get a defenseman in here. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I have got to get defensive help for this franchise. That's what Lou would have done. I believe that. We'll never know, but I believe that. Or option B, which I'll explain in a second. But Kyle Dubas didn't do that. Kyle Dubas made a rookie GM mistake. Make the big signing. Get the big name. Flash the flashy headlines. Kyle Dubas bought into the hype. Brendan Shanahan bought into the hype, gave Kyle Dubas the team before he was ready. Kyle Dubas on day one bought into the hype and said, John Tavares is the guy I need to get. When John Tavares was not the guy you needed to get. Absolutely, 1,000% not the guy you needed to get. Now, AK brings up one of my points. I'm going to bring up the other point, too. AK says, JT signing hurt the development of Matthews and Nylander. Totally agree. Matthews, Nylander, Marner. Marner played with John Tavares. It's a great combination. It is so much fun to watch as a hockey fan. I mean, legit. I mean, the speed, the ability for a 16 to dish. It's great to have 91 on the other side of that. I also noticed that John really stepped up his tip game this year. I mean, the guy is just deflecting everything, and it's going in. It's amazing. Amazing. His net front game increased a thousandfold since he's gotten to Toronto. So it's fun as hell to watch. But whereas he kind of affects Matthews and Nylander in a development point of view, he's going to affect Marner in the wallet. Because now this team has to figure out how they're going to get Marner under contract. It's a big mistake from the Toronto Maple Leafs. Signing John Tavares cost you the playoffs. And take a look at what he did. And by the way, I've seen all the analysis. I've seen all the comments. Do you know what keeps coming back to me about John Tavares' game? You know what? He only scored one goal. And it was an empty net goal, too. But he played a great two-way game. He played an unbelievable two-way game. I want anybody to answer this question. Which player that you pay $11 million a year do you want to go and go, oh, he played a great two-way game? No, he didn't score, but he played a great two-way game. Hey, that's a really expensive two-way game. That's not what I want out of my $11 million guy. You know what I want out of my $11 million guy? 4 goals in 7 games. I want a GWG. I want stats, baby. I want stats. I don't want a great two-way game. You know who else gives me a great two-way game? The guy I'm paying $1.5 million. That guy's got a strong two-way game, too, and it cost me $10 million less. John Tavares played a great two-way game. Honestly, I've heard some phenomenal, phenomenal hockey people, wonderful hockey people, turn around and go, John Tavares played a great two-way game. You're an idiot because, I mean, I can't even qualify that. On no planet would any fan or general manager sign up for a great two-way game from an $11 million player. It just wouldn't happen. But I'm not blaming John Tavares on that. I want better out of him, sure, but I'm just talking more about criticizing fellow hockey people. So Marner's salary-wise is going to be affected in a big way. But the other thing that fascinates me, that again, nobody's talking about here, and again, this is Kyle Dubas buying into the hype. Why the hell, when you have a player of John Tavares' caliber coming back to his home team, we all saw the shot of John in the bedsheets with the Toronto Maple Leafs logos all over the place, right? Why on God's green earth would you give this guy $11 million? Because I think Lou Lamoriello sits in that room, and if he has the chance to sign John Tavares, he slides a piece of paper over the desk to John Tavares and he says, listen, John, before you flip that over, I want you to know it's lower than you can get anywhere else, but there's a reason for it. Because if you want to win and you want to bring a cup to your hometown team, which I could really appreciate and I think is fantastic, you got to sign here for considerably less. Are you strong enough to come in here and take a $4 to $5 million haircut to win as a Toronto Maple Leaf? That's my pitch to John Tavares. Because if he's not, go back to the island. Try San Jose. They're giving out big fat checks. They'll give you one. You'll be in the West. I won't have to worry about you until the Stanley Cup Finals then. But that's the play. That's the move. And that was the play that Kyle Dubas was afraid to play. That was the hand he was afraid to play. He signed John Tavares to $11 million. John could have gotten 12 and a half. John got 12 and a half, supposedly, from the New York Islanders. Supposedly, he got 13 plus the extra year. So you're talking about like $18 million that John left on the table, which is notable. I don't know anybody listening or watching this that would leave $18 million on the table. No way. If somebody handed me a knife and said, go in that room, your parents are in there all tied up, kill them for $18 million. Sorry, mom and dad. May you rest in peace. But I want you to know, when I'm sitting on my yacht in the Caribbean, I'm going to be thinking about all the good times we have. Okay? That's me. That's me. Again, I don't know anybody that's leaving $18 million on the tables. That was a little bit of a morbid example. I want to apologize for that. Maybe I wouldn't do that to my parents. But a couple of cousins? Absolutely. I got plenty of those to go around. Point is this. An experienced general manager that knows what they're doing, that's been around the block and can play the game and doesn't buy into the hype, would have slid a note over to John Tavares that said, you want to come play in Toronto? You got to get $7 million a year. Everybody and their mother is going to get paid more than you. Everybody and their mother. But if you want to come back here, A, you could probably make up the difference in endorsements because Toronto, the whole country loves them. And B, this is what it's going to take because I need that extra $4 to $5 million, seeing that he would have gotten 12 or 13 somewhere else. I need to give that money to a defenseman to make this team better. Do you know what the definition of insanity is? Repeating the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. This exact team, for the most part, swap out JVR for John Tavares, a couple more points, a little bit more clutch, better player. I'm not going to argue with that. But essentially, you didn't fix your deficiencies. You went into Boston thinking that you were going to have a better result, and you didn't. And you didn't get it. And you deserve everything you get. And then to sit here and go, well, Mike Babcock should be fired. No, no. Kyle Dubas should look in the mirror, and Brendan Shanahan should look in the mirror, because this problem started long before Mike Babcock. This problem started with buying into the hype, which Brendan did to hire Kyle, and Kyle did to sign John Tavares. And let's be honest, Kyle made a couple of really bad moves this year. One was letting his entire goaltending squad go, and look what McElhinney's been able to do down in Carolina. Garrett Sparks sucks beyond belief, okay? I hate to put it harshly like that, but he does. And, he didn't really add anything else much to the table. Much of anything else to the table. Kyle Dubas had a bad year. And it's hard to say that when you signed one of the best players in the game. But that doesn't always mean you're going to win. Case in point, they're out in seven. John on Facebook. John doesn't sign for $7 million. Like I said, great. Thanks for meeting with me. I hear San Jose is handing out $12 million checks. Go over there and get it. I would rather take my chances playing John Tavares with him going back to the Islanders. Because it didn't matter. Because Toronto had to know, Tavares or not, you've got to beat the Boston Bruins in seven games. This team was not built to do that. And the best example was the same damn team last year lost in seven games. In almost the same exact fashion. Now, where does Mike Babcock come into all this? Well, why don't you try double shifting somebody, for the love of God? I mean, seriously. Can you just double shift somebody? Can you put Matthews, Marner, and Tavares out once in the final 5 minutes? Why in the hell was Tyler Ennis on the ice as much as he was last night? I like 63 better than, I love him. But he played a lot of minutes towards the end of that game. And you know what? He got a couple of opportunities and he didn't convert. I'm Babcock. I am tightening down. Give me 34, 91, 16, 29, and just keep it going. I even thought Patrick Marleau had a great game. I would have just kept him going. Every other shift, Matthews or Tavares should have been out there, and sometimes together. I mean, you had to know that Boston was going to keep going. Also, I like Hyman. I like Brown. I like, I like some of their mid-six guys. But take a look at the Boston Bruins. That bottom six is phenomenal. Phenomenally better. Way better than the Toronto Maple Leafs. And maybe one of the best in the league. You know, the league, the world of hockey gives The New York Islanders a lot of credit for having the best fourth line in hockey. I just don't know anymore. That Corrali line, they're pretty good. And they can swap in, what's his name? Wagner. They got a bunch of guys. They can move in. Backes. It's crazy that we're talking about Backes as a third line player, a third and fourth line player these days, but it's true. I mean, they just have a lot of options. Yeah, that Cizikas, Martin, Clutterbuck line might be the best, but I would say Boston is right up there, if not right behind them. Because they got a really good, impressive fourth line. Really, really good. All right, that's it for that. Oh, you know what? The last thing I wanted to leave on this, too, is there is definitely an issue between Babcock and Dubas. They're clearly not on the same page. Absolutely not on the same page. And I'm going to show you something to illustrate exactly that. Mike Babcock, like the rest of us, except for Kyle Dubas, knew what the result of this series was going to be. And we're going to take a look at the first couple of seconds of Mike Babcock's press conference after he lost the game. And I want you to see how nonchalantly Mike Babcock answers this question. Like, just look at his face. If you're on the podcast, I apologize. You're not going to be able to see this as well. Head on over to the Facebook page or the YouTube page and watch the replay. Also, give a thumbs up. Also, share it on Twitter and Facebook if you can. But I want you to take a look at his face here as he nonchalantly takes a sip of water before answering this reporter's question. Like, obviously, we were going to lose. We didn't have the defensive core.
I love the start you had their first 10 minutes of the period. You're in their zone a ton, and then the breakdown comes.
Well, I thought we played pretty good. They shot the puck in the net. I mean, I thought we played real good till 3-1. And then at 3-1, I didn't think we had anything after that. But I thought we played real good and carried lots of the play and executed and played the way we wanted to play. So it's disappointing, though. I thought our series this year compared to last year, we were a way better hockey club. In the end, we weren't rewarded. But, I'm proud of the guys. I thought we worked. I think we're really taking steps and going in the right direction. But we got to push through and get through this. I mean, that's just the bottom line is you want to keep playing. We got a good group of guys, and you want to hang out together. And now you're starting again, and there's always, as you know, in the off season, there's always transactions. People leave, so it's disappointing for our group. Part of the scars and the pain you feel in building a franchise. Disappointed today.
He's so matter of factly when he says, like, you know, people move on, guys move on, and we're disappointed in the result today. Swig of water, like. Honestly, this doesn't bother him. It's like he made peace with the fact that they were losing this series probably at the deadline when they got Jake Muzzin, which was a quality pickup. And I thought Jake had a good series, but Jake wasn't what this team needed. This team needs they need another Morgan Rielly. They need a 1A defenseman. They need that other guy, that top two, top three defensive player. And not for nothing, but they could have used a 3-4-2. They just need an overhaul on the D. They just need an overhaul on the D. And their forward lines are just all over the place. Kadri gets knocked out. Let's be honest. He didn't adjust well in the third center position with all the lack of playing time. And, you know, Nylander had an awful year after sitting out and didn't have that great of a playoff. And you got a lot of issues here. Now Nylander's making a ton of money. You got Matthews making a ton of money. You've got Tavares making a ton of money. And you have to figure out a way to pay Marner and bring in a defenseman. You better hope, Brendan Shanahan, some of that hype you bought into with Kyle Dubas comes to fruition, because you're in a lot of trouble. You are in a lot of trouble. As I don't know many fantastic general managers that are proven could pull that off. I just don't know. That's a tough pill to swallow. Speaking of tough pill to swallow, how about these guys right here? Oh my goodness. Series lead, game 7 lead, 3-0, 16 minutes left in the third or whatever it was. You're up 3-0 in game 7. How the hell do you lose that game? How? How? How, Lou? You must be devastated. By the way, and I don't think I'm going to have time for it, but I want to throw in a plug here for Lou's channel, VGK coverage, Vegas Golden Knight coverage. Search him out on YouTube and Facebook and everywhere. VGK coverage. Go watch the Game 6 vlog where Lou, I don't know what you were doing, man, but I loved it. I loved every bit of it, where Lou did a vlog of him going to Game 6 and watching the game, which was awesome. But at some point, and you have to explain this to me, man, felt the need to go and interview people at the game, not people, interview Sharks fans at the game and get their experience on what it was like to watch a game in Vegas, which I get. I'm still with you on all of that. I don't know why you're doing that. Maybe there was like a report of like, it's not a fun place to go and watch a game, or Vegas Golden Knights fans are not friendly. And I totally get Lou's part in trying to keep the narrative on point. Like, hey, we are a nice place to come and see. But Lou, at one point, interviews the most drunk San Jose Sharks fan I have ever seen. This guy was hammered off his rear end. If you could put a link in, Lou, put a link in the chat if you can. Or tweet it out and tag me or Facebook it and tag the Hockey Talk Show so I can throw it out there. Sharks fans were saying that we were all a-holes. That may be. I totally get why he would want to do it, but I found it to be so awesome and hilarious as this drunken Sharks fan. And Lou is like, you can tell Lou is like trying to do his part to carry the franchise. Hey, look, it's a new franchise, new city. The channel's new. It's awesome. He does a great job. I can see there's something going on and he wants to change the narrative. But this drunk guy, at one point, Lou goes, are you enjoying your time here in Vegas? And in the drunk and stupid, he's like, yeah, Vegas, man. Like, it was such a great question. And the guy's answer to it was so funny. So funny. And now there's other, he talks to some other people. Oh, here you go. Lou put up a thing. He talks to some other people and he gets, I think, the response that he wanted from them, which was great. Oh, damn it. See, I don't know how to. Oh, I gotta like kill this now. Sorry. I don't know what I did. Anyway, it was great. Go look at Lou, just put it up in the YouTube chat. Go look it up. It was just the drunk guy had me cackling, laughing, hysterical. You know, like this idea, like, did you have a good time in Vegas? Like, of course. And by the way, let me tell you who's sad about the Vegas Golden Knights getting eliminated. All of Vegas and their fans, and also everybody who has a pulse and likes hockey, because there's not one person in the National Hockey League community that did not absolutely 1 billion percent want to go to Vegas again for a cup final, or didn't want to go cover the team in the next round of the playoffs or whatever it was. Everybody was rooting to go back to Vegas. It's the absolute best city in the entire planet. Hands down, bar none. Greatest city ever. And greatest city to have a hockey team. So everybody on the planet is disappointed that the Vegas Golden Knights are no longer in the mix here in the West. But they blew a big one. And, you know, we can talk all day long about, you know, that call. And was it the right call? You know, I have an image here. Here's Joe Pavelski. If you're watching again on YouTube or Facebook, here's the image of Joe Pavelski. And, you know, if you're watching, I hate to be so graphic, but there's blood on the ice. You know, he had just bounced his head right off the ice, and it's not a good look. And, you know, I'm sitting there. First of all, I didn't watch the game live because, you know, I do a morning show here on the island. So I had to sleep, and I get up the next morning and I see that the Sharks win it in overtime. And I'm like, oh, my God, that must have been one hell of a game. That must have been crazy. And then I, you know, I investigate further and I watch the game recap and I see how it went down. And I am just like beyond blown away at what happened and how exactly it all went down. I just couldn't believe it. And then I saw the penalty and I saw the cross check from Eakin, which I'm not going to show here. But I saw the penalty and I saw it in fast motion. I was like, that looked bad. But a 5-minute penalty, I wouldn't have done that. And then I saw it in slow motion. I thought, oh, my God, that's not a penalty at all. And then it was later on in the day, because they don't show the blood in the highlights and the game recaps. And I understand why. Joe's got a family, for the love of Pete. And then I saw this actual footage play out in real time. And I saw him bounce off the ice. And I saw the blood. And now I'm looking at it. I go, I could totally see the referees seeing what happened here and in real time and not having the ability to go to replay or anything like that and making the call that they made. It's unfortunate. By the book, it's not a penalty. By the book, at worst, if you're calling a super tight game, which no referee wants to call a super tight game in a playoff game like this, in a game seven, they don't want this, the attention, the pressure that they have on them right now. They don't want it. But when you're in there, I totally get it. I totally get why they did it. And look, Vegas still gave up three goals. I know it's not what Vegas fans want to hear. And Vegas, by the way, to their credit, fought back and got back into this game. But they just didn't have it at the end of the day. And that is what I said at the start of the series when I picked the San Jose Sharks in this series. It's that this is a different year for Vegas. They're going to have their sophomore slump, for lack of a better term. And Vegas ran through the playoffs last year with ease. They never faced a Game 7 situation. And they never faced a team in the situation where San Jose was, which was the better, you know, or not the better team, but a really good team with absolutely nothing to lose. And the momentum from a Game 6 win. So it's unfortunate. Vegas fans are going to complain today, and I totally understand. I'm not here to be like, oh, you guys should, you know, you guys should, shouldn't have the ability to feel bad. You should, but, you know, it went down the way it went down. It's a good question, and a lot of debate on this today. I'm wondering if during the playoffs they should allow that stuff to be reviewable. It's such a complicated issue because then where do you stop with the reviews? We're already into this review world of offsides and onsides, goalie interference, you know, a play like this. I just don't know. It wasn't a great hockey play to begin with. During the regular season, that might have been it was a cross check right off the faceoff that could have been called. Again, the playoffs, it wouldn't have been called. But unfortunate things happen in all games, you know. So unfortunate that he got hurt. Unfortunate that the call was made. I think it's just part of the game. I hate to say this, but I do like having a little bit of human error in the game. Even though it can go against my team when I'm rooting, it can go against all of us. It's one of the variables. It's, does your goalie have it tonight? Are your scorers going to score? You know, are the refs going to call a good game? You know, it wasn't obvious. Like Zenzub just said, hot take, five was fair. I could see people arguing that, look, five was fair. You know, the combination of the hit and whatever, he put him in a vulnerable position, maybe. I don't know what it was. You know, there's a lot of arguments to be had here. I want to keep the game in the referee's hands. I don't 100% agree with their call. But again, I always go back to whatever my first instinct was when I first saw the play. And when I first saw the play, I thought that was a bad play. And I would have given him a penalty. And you have to keep that in mind because we get to see all the replays and go, oh, well, this is that. The referees don't have that luxury. And should they? I don't know, because now we're stopping the game every 5 minutes for a call on anything. Missed calls and this and that, and then it's just a horrible slippery slope. Coach's challenge? I mean, maybe you give the coach a challenge on a penalty in the last 5 minutes of a playoff game. Maybe. I could see something like that. But there's got to be, John, great suggestion, a cap on it. Because we can't have it every 3 seconds going to Toronto or letting the refs go in and pick up the iPad in the situation room. Just can't have it. It's not a good scenario. All right, let's look forward to Game 7 tonight here. Canes and Caps. Right now in the chat, I want everybody to put their prediction in because I want to take the temperature of the Hockey Talk Show fans. Put it in the thing. Caps or Canes, who do you think wins Game 7 as I explain my theories on this? I want to know right now if you're watching, even if you're watching on the replay, I'll catch up to it for sure. Who do you like in Game 7, Caps or Canes? Tomorrow or Friday, because I think round two starts on Friday, I believe. If I'm wrong about this, we'll adjust and do a show tomorrow for sure. But tomorrow, or the next show, I should say, we will do second round predictions. We'll sit down and we'll revisit the brackets and we'll take a look and see who moves on from here on out. We'll do an assessment of the playoffs on the next Hockey Talk Show. So look out for that. Make sure you guys are subscribed on Facebook or YouTube. And make sure if you're on YouTube, if you prefer that, hit that little bell next to our subscribe thing. so you get notifications so that when we go live, you can be notified however you'd like to be notified so that you don't miss a second of the Hockey Talk Show. Same thing on the Facebook page. You go on over to where it says follow. You put your mouse over it on the Hockey Talk Show page on Facebook, and then you'll see a thing that says see notifications first. Select that so that when we go live, you get a notification so that you don't miss a second of the action. All right, as we take a look at some of the answers here, I want to point this out too. In the playoffs, never, ever, ever in the history of this format, which is relatively new, has the wild card team beaten the top seeded team all the way around. And we're in a scenario right now where three of the wild card teams have advanced past their top seeds. This is what we look at. And it could be 4-for-4 if the Canes are able to beat the Caps. That could be the situation. Now, I will say this before I give you my opinion on the whole thing. The Canes have been amazing this year. Not only have they done the storm surge and turned the hockey world on its side and been labeled a bunch of jerks, they've also had a pig as a mascot, and they're trying to bring...
Arden joins us live, finally, with Hamilton the Pig. Naya!
I know, I'm really excited, you guys, because he's so cute! Oh, it's just an oink oink type of celebration today. And you know what? I'm not even going to touch the wagon that he's in right now, because it might be bad luck. you can see his owners right here, who are actually thrilled. You guys have been really busy, right, Kyle? Tell us how it's been the last few days.
Yeah, we've had a lot of calls initially about the game, and then we, you know, our social media ramped up, so we were trying to reach out to everybody that way. And now we've been working with a lot of different organizations to try and get him up to D.C., so that's been quite the affair the past 2 days. So
yeah, because you said a lot of people have been trying to stop that.
Yeah, the Capitals fans are not having it, so we... We've been trying to work with DC. They've got all kinds of exotic pet ordinances. We've been trying to loop around, and then the Capitals are refusing to put them in the stadium. I think they're scared of the pig a little bit here.
Yeah, that's it, Kyle. They're scared of the luck of the pig. Or it's a wild animal, and most major New York cities would not allow that in an arena. I'm just putting it out there. I don't want to dump on your good time. Your cousin slash wife seems to be enjoying as well. But just so you know how it works in the real world with big cities, you can't just bring farm animals into an arena. Just can't do it. But credit the Canes. They're trying their rear ends off. They're trying to make it happen. They're bringing Piggy here. What was his name? Hamilton? Hamilton the Pig. They're bringing him in. They're doing whatever they can. Liz, I'm hoping for the Canes, but I think the Caps. I feel like a lot of people are going to feel that way. 4-3 in OT. Canes will do it for Svechnikov. Caps win it. Break the streak of the one seed upsets. Unbelievable greatness. Caps will win. They will win for TJ Oshie. Let's go Caps, says VHS Queen. Good name. Whoa, farm animals at the game. Whatever it takes, Carolina. Lou says, go Canes from your friends on Long Island. Good to see you, Lou. Game 7, Verizon Center, Caps from John. Here's my thought on this. This is a damn coin toss. I know that's not a hot take, but this is such a coin toss. Here's what I love about the Caps. Ovechkin, Holtby, in a major way, and you're home. And you won a cup last year. You know what it takes. You've been here before. Here's what I love about the Canes. They're young, they're stupid, and they don't know any better. And a lot of the pressures that would be on a lot of teams just aren't on them. Also, Hamilton the Pig. Also, in all seriousness, Justin Williams is one of the absolute best playoff performers I have ever seen. You'll hear a lot of people refer to him as Mr. Game 7. Got a lot of GWGs over there. I believe in Justin Williams. When he was a free agent, I wanted the Islanders to sign him. I said to anybody, this guy is a playoff performer. He comes to play when the pressure is on. Don't underestimate Justin Williams. He's been a phenomenal captain for the Canes. He had that deflection goal in Game 6 to help them get here. He is the architect behind the surge. He's done a lot. He's my wild card. you know, I'm okay with Svechnikov going out. If Justin Williams is out, I don't think the Canes have a chance here. But with 14 in the lineup, I think the Canes have a real chance at an upset in a Game 7 scenario. It is so super close. Joe, can't wait for the Islanders to start round two. Let's go Islanders. Like I said, stay tuned. Next Hockey Talk show with Anthony. We will break down round two. We will take a look at whoever wins tonight versus the New York Islanders in round two. And it's a big adjustment for the Isles because you're going to play the Canes different from the Caps. And if you're an Islanders fan, I know you're rooting for the Canes because they're inexperienced, but how dangerous is a Canes team that just put down the defending Stanley Cup champions? That's a whole new level of confidence there. Also chains up the Islanders' approach as far as home ice advantage. Caps win, they're the away team. Canes win, Isles get home ice. So that's another interesting little facet there. I honestly, in my head, haven't picked a winner for tonight. But all in all, I got to say, you know, I think just home ice rings true. I think the Caps take it. I think it's super close. I think if the Caps can get one or two early, it'll help them. But I don't think the Canes will go away. But I think they need to get all they can. Obviously need that crown in front of them. I just think Ovi will be there. I think Kuznetsov will rise to the occasion. And they have Holtby, who's super dangerous. And I love Mrazek, and he's been amazing. But I'm going to go with the experience here over anything else. And I'm going to say it's an upset as far as the wild cards go. Give me the Caps tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little bit of an issue and go into overtime. John, do you think the big rest will affect the Isles' momentum? Well, my friend, you'll have to tune into the next Hockey Talk show because I have a lot of insight on that one. We'll do that on the next episode. Make sure you tell your friends. Spread the word on the Hockey Talk show, guys. It's the only way we get around. We've grown because of you. Thank you for that. But the job ain't over. Keep it up. Also, like I said in the beginning, the big revenue stream for the show right now is the podcast. So whether you listen on Spotify or TuneIn or Stitcher or Apple Podcast or Google Podcast, give it a 5-second listen. You can catch up on what you missed. And if you watch the whole thing, just give it a 5-second listen anyway. Actually, give it a solid minute and a half. That'd be the best. 90 seconds. That puts a little money in our kick. Helps us keep the train rolling here for sure. Barry Trotz and Friends versus the Caps does sound great for TV networks. Zenzub, totally true. I mean, if you look at that, I'll give you a little. You're talking about Barry Trotz versus Barry Trotz because Reardon hasn't changed a damn thing. It's still a bald guy behind the bench. Same system, same lack of hair behind the bench for the Caps. So, I mean, you're literally going system against system. Except for one caveat. And again, I would love to tell you right now, but then you have no reason to come back for the next episode. Enjoy the hockey action tonight. 7:30 puck drop. NBC Sports Network here in the States. Caps, Canes. That's it. See you guys on the next shift. Thanks so much for the comments, the likes and the shares and everything else. And thanks if you do go to the podcast and listen. I really, really do appreciate that.